and he wants to know about this job thing, well, voluntary thing for media. And I say, no, no, the dickwits, isn't it, is he's gone to this collective meeting, very first one.
Yeah.
And it's at the Northwest Arts, blah, 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 blah. And I'm going in a minute. And
yeah.
So he goes, oh, right, okay, I'll bob along. And so that's how he went. And he turned out to be amazingly useful because he recorded lots of, like, events that ran on the wall.
Okay.
In fact, the later on, the Property Of, which was the girl punk band that formed.
Yeah.
We've got, it's on Spotify now.
Okay, really? Excellent.
Yeah, the band on the wall.
So you went from classical to punk.
Yeah. Well, actually, what I was really doing is I was going back another step. Mm. I was training to be a junior school teacher.
Oh, really? Okay.
And so I'm walking downstairs one day, and Dick Whips is on the phone to some people organising a concert in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And I jokingly say to him, can I come?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, yeah, sure. So I went and helped with all drum kits
okay.
and everything.
Excellent.
And that's eventually how I totally got involved in being mm-hmm. in the more media. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, so going back to the collective,
yeah.
People come to the first few meetings mm-hmm. and everything. People play down in Northwest Arts Basement. Really wasn't ideal.
Where was that?
It's on King Street.
Okay.
Yes, exactly. It's a restaurant.
Okay.
And it's like, it was bigger than this, but not massively.
Yeah.
And low ceilings, okay. And I think the neighbours didn't like it.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, so that's when we stopped to knock the band on the wall.
Were you considering any other places at all? Or was it like band on the wall? They have.
I think they had City Fun on
yeah.
Monday, so
yeah.
I think it was the place to go. Mm-hmm. So I remember coming here
mm-hmm.
with Dick Whips and standing outside in the kind of loading area and Steve having a chat with Steve about
yeah.
whether we could give it a go
mm-hmm.
and he said we could try it for a few Sundays.
Okay.
And that was the first time I'd ever been to Bampton Wall.
Okay.
And after that I practically lived there for about 2 years. I mean
yeah.
quite literally because we did every Sunday for a bit and then it went to Tuesdays.
Okay.
And then Steve, who owned it before JCS, encouraged me to come on other nights and listen to some jazz.
Mm-hmm.
So I did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and literally I did feel I lived here.
Yeah,
and
it gets that way.
And, you know, because I was classed as staff, it was mm-hmm. getting free.
Yeah.
But that also meant that if I'm short-staffed, I ended up doing the bar.
Oh,
the
really?
Door.
Okay.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, they really roped you in.
Oh, yes. So not just the collect, because I had to organise all the collective nights.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, that was because, we had all those meetings, and at which point Trevor Wishart's contract as composer in residence for Northwest Art finished, so we went back to York,
mm-hmm.
and Richard Witt's got a job in Liverpool, so
okay.
it was just me,
yeah.
who was the person that shared a flat with Dick Whips, who was left in charge
okay.
of the collective.
Wow.
It was pure fluke.
Yeah.
It was not something I had
signed up for at all. No.
No, and it was great.
Yeah.
Looked out bits of my diary. And
diary,
yes.
Good, excellent.
Things are going really well. I'm organising this and doing that.
How did it feel at the time? Like, did you feel ever, doing this, for example, I get days where I'm like, oh, I'm doing a really cool thing and I'm really happy with how it's going, and then other days I'd be like, oh, what am I doing? This is a terrible life, there's so much to do, or so much responsibility.
I think I was incredibly naive.
Okay.
absolutely just totally unaware of
yeah.
I knew it was really important, like musically, but I didn't,
yeah.
I don't know. And also, I mean, to be fair, it was a bit like school teaching as well, because you've got to organise all these young boys.
All these artists.
Because I was 20,
yeah,
or
oh,
21,
wow. yeah.
And a lot of them were like 16 to 18,
okay.
and some of them called me Auntie Louise when they had my back, you know, because
yeah.
I'm like, nope, you're not doing that. Because you've kind of got to be
like
that.
Yeah.
And as a woman, or a girl back then.
Yeah,
it was so careful, because if you got too friendly, you just thought you were flirting with them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And if you were too bossy or whatever, I'm sure they would have something to say about that, like, oh, who's this?
Yeah, so you're
telling us what to do.
Well, they wanted to be nice to me because I was giving them the
Well,
kids.
That's true, yeah.
And that was kind of it. It was massively important, massively important, because it was the only place where musicians could meet on a kind of almost non-competitive basis.
Yeah.
So if people who like signed up to the factory, they wanted a record contract, didn't they? You know,
yeah.
But this was like, I think Band on the Wall has always been a place where musicians met. So it became a place where loads and loads of musicians came along and met, formed other bands, did this and the other. I encouraged them to come and try some of the other jazz lines.
Mm-hmm.
And they did, they tended to, the
okay.
people kind of met other people and
yeah.
did stuff.
That's really good. It is still very much like that, you know.
Yeah.
Like, all my friends are really. I've got some friends that I moved from Scotland to here with that
yeah.
I still keep around with, but then all my Manchester friends really are from Band on the Wall. And then just last night I was at Psychfest. This is getting completely off piece, but just to emphasise, I was at a festival that's all around Manchester,
yeah.
different artists, and the guy that's downstairs, the manager, he plays in a band that was playing there last night. And I bumped into an old friend, and she was like, oh, this is so-and-so from that band, and that's so-and-so, and they all live together, and her boyfriend is in another band, and he goes and hangs out with them, so it's still very much like that. It's really nice to know.
Yeah, it was very much like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, I got together with Martine Hilton for our initial girl from the band,
yeah.
because I was living with Dick in the house with Dick Witts,
yeah.
and she was going out with Tony Frill from the Fall.
Okay,
and,
good.
He was trying to get Tony to leave to form Passage
okay.
with Lorraine's Martine's sister Lorraine.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got introduced and we decided to form a.
Nice. What was that band called again?
Property Of.
Property Of. Well, I made little notes, even though we're like, yeah, I want to make little notes. You don't see my terrible number of names.
Yeah, we've. Yeah, so it's on Spotify. It's terrible.
No, I'm really not.
No, it is. Yeah, really, seriously, I'm that child.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the political. It was very much a kind of political idea, you know, that ordinary people could come along and have a go and play, and also for women, because there was hardly any. Role models of women playing instruments. They were all like stood at the front singing.
Yeah, sure.
So that was kind of important to us. To
so how long did you keep going to Band on the Wall, like, and meet with the Manchester Musicians Collective?
Well, we didn't meet here.
You didn't meet here? Oh, I thought you'd... Oh, so you just played your gigs here on Sundays
right,
and
yeah.
Tuesdays. Yeah.
So we met at, first of all, the King Street,
okay.
and then we had our meetings at the Sawyer's Arms.
Oh, okay.
When we thrashed stuff out, who was going to be on next week or whatever.
Yeah.
And all the gigs were here for about 2 years.
Yeah, okay.
And then we moved to the Cypress Tavern because I think they wanted the night back for something else. Mm-hmm.
Okay, fair enough, yeah. Interesting. And so what was it like putting on gigs here at the time? Was it as the organisers, was there anything to contend with, or was everyone very, like, helpful and, you know, mixed?
I think initially, and there were one or two, like, people who were a bit, like, the main thing is that they had to share backline and they had to share drums.
Okay.
Because it was, there were three bands on a night and
yeah.
a small...
Smaller than that.
Small
band. Yeah, yeah.
We're not going to be having backline changes.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to just be having one backline and you have to share it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't agree with that, you can't play.
Okay, yeah.
And that was kind of the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
And a few people were like, oh, who's in my head? It's like,
yeah.
What? And it was mostly like the top act that
yeah.
provided the stuff. In fact, a couple of bands that say that they didn't actually have any gear, so it was great.
Okay, excellent.
They were just,
how did they practice then?
They didn't have any drum kits or
yeah, sure.
amplifiers or,
yeah.
or whatever. I don't. There's a great book by. I can't remember his name. It's called Swerve. The book's called Swerve.
Swerve.
Mark Hoyle. Okay. Right, and that tells a fantastic story. He was a young lad in Cairn at 16,
okay.
who came to a collective meeting and completely changed his life.
Lovely.
It was one of the first time he felt he'd ever been recognised as a person.
Okay.
And everybody comes like,
yeah.
And he went on to do a band called Dub Sex and various other stuff, and has written a fantastic book about the collective, well, initially his initial life in Cairn. Stuff that the collective impacted on him, and I haven't read the end yet.
Excellent. Were there any other kind of examples of that, of like people that come in and they didn't have any sort of like people looking after them outside of it, but then come in and find?
I'm not sure I would know that. In fact, to be fair, I didn't know about Mark until more recently, because I have organised other things over the years where we've met people who've met up.
Yeah.
Because we did, I think the first book that show just so the first collective thing.
Oh,
that we
excellent.
Did was that one.
Okay, I'd like to have a wee look at this. Thank you. Wow. So where did you record this?
No, that is all bits of old recordings
okay.
of people that recorded that were put together by an American.
I read about this online,
yeah.
Yes, I remember this, yeah.
So, when that went, I had a lot of input into that because I was like, round about 2000, I started to realise, because that was when like the internet became more accessible to everybody, that there wasn't anything about the collective online, it was all about the factory.
Okay, yeah.
So I first of all opened up the MySpace page, and then a website, which I haven't kept up now.
Yeah.
And with the MySpace thing, I had a list, because I keep things, because there's archives stuff, of everybody that was in the collective. So I've searched around.
I would love to see that list. Yeah.
But it's if you go to the exhibition in Manchester, I can send you
the one in the Central Library.
Yeah,
that one. Oh, was it you as well?
Some of it's me.
Yeah,
it's I'll tell you about that.
Yeah,
after.
Yeah, sorry.
Where was I? Yeah, so I contacted loads and loads and loads of people and got them to give me their memories of the collective.
Okay.
Posted it sort of online, and then I started to get journalists asking me questions and stuff like that. And he was one of the sort of guys that got in touch, and we got together this album. And when that happened, I invited as many as I could get that were local to come round to my house and have a party.
Excellent.
On the day. And we had an audio link to America and music playing all day.
Excellent. Oh, that sounds like a very good party. Who was there? Who came?
I can't remember.
It was just
bunch of people from the collective.
That's really nice.
And then the next one had a big input because I wrote the intro to this and provided the artworks.
Oh, amazing.
Really,
oh, yes, I know this one. Yeah.
That's a famous one.
We actually recreated that at our staff party a couple of years ago. we weren't quite as like uniform. Are you in this picture, by the way?
I am. It's a terrible picture. Where I hate
are you
it.
In this picture?
I'm looking really fat because I thought they were wearing mohair jumper, but mohair jumper was really cool, but it doesn't look fat.
No! Where are
there's
you?
Two of them. There's that one and that one.
Oh,
which
yeah.
are different.
Oh, this is one we've recreated before. Yes. I love seeing the building like this. I think it looks better.
That's me there.
Okay.
That's really, I hated the hair. I hated that mohair jumper. That it's just like I really should never have worn that.
We all make mistakes. Oh, you're there too.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, no. Excellent.
So this one I've written the foreword to.
Cool.
This came out. Was it my show the year before? I can't remember now. So I wrote all the forward for that. And stuff and provided them with things. That's me. That's
I like the bike.
Yeah, it's much better.
Do you still ride the bike?
No. I think I'd be frightened now.
Do you have any copies of these?
No. You'll have to ask Cherry Red.
Okay.
But yeah, I can send you the blurb.
Please do.
Because I've written it.
Yes, please do.
Send me the blurb out there. No, sadly not. I don't. they do give you a copy each, but
yes,
not that many.
Can you buy them online at all?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you can. Okay, that's good. Wow. So questions. Yes. Where's my phone? In an ideal world, my laptop would have been charged and I could have had it over here with me, but alas. So would you like to go through each of the questions that I wrote and or would you like me to?
We could try that.
You might be repeating some of the things you've said, so
I don't know what they are again. I'll have a look.
If there's any that you don't want to go through, then that's okay.
When did you first learn about Mammon Wall? When we rocked up here asking if we could
host the relay,
give it a go.
So was that 1977?
Yes.
Is that right? Yeah. Okay, I thought so. Cool.
So I can't remember, I'm afraid, the dates.
No, it's okay.
I did have a quick look on the diary. I can't see anything, because I know it's all sorts of odd. Mostly, my diaries are dreadful. They say, I got up.
Yeah. Well done.
Well done me.
Yeah.
Went to the shop. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then there's things like Iggy Pop.
Mm-hmm. Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Or, I don't know, Sex Pistols.
Okay.
That gig at the Three Trade Hall.
Yeah, you were there.
Yeah, second one at first.
Yeah.
Because I'd gone to the Isle of Man.
What were you wearing, do you remember? This is not one of the related questions, but just because it's interesting.
No, I can't remember. probably jeans and a t-shirt.
Fair enough.
I have no memory of
no.
anything like that.
No.
I remember lots of sort of young punk girls kind of rushing to the front, madly, but I sat in the back seat with Dick Witts and Bob Dickinson, the journalist, who was sat there, and we were like, this is interesting.
Yeah, especially if you're a jazz person, Sex Pistols are...
Well, I wasn't jazz, particularly necessarily a jazz person then.
No.
I was probably more Pink Floyd than Lovecraft Generator.
Yeah, excellent. Good takes.
Yeah.
Did you see Pink Floyd?
No, I saw Lovecraft Generator.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
And my next door but three friends back in the day, who's now moved down to Cambridge, whose daughter goes out with the son from one of Pink Floyd.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, that's
cool.
But yeah, so go on. So the first time I was just when we came to Alaska. I'd never heard of it, and I didn't know anything about jazz at all.
No, fair. And it was 2 years after it opened, so everything was all pretty new.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so what happened is, obviously the building has been here in different iterations since like 1802, 1803, and it had a female landlord. And so it was just kind of that part of the building, and then in 1932 it got a music license, and it was still the George and Dragon Hotel, and Ernie Tyson at the time, he got a music license, I think, or he had reasons, I can't remember what they were, but I think it was partly because this part of the building with this kind of facade, it was the Smithfield Market, and it was still connected to the Mackie Mayo next door, so
So the front of the building.
Right. I suppose it depends on how you look at it. But I think I would say this is the back of the building, and then the front is over there.
Okay. And so there was a pub next door too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't
remember
what that pub was called.
No, but there was a lot of gentlemen in there.
Okay.
Who I believe had some interesting connections.
I have heard that there was connections to the Quality Street gang. Yes. Is that true?
I believe, but tell you what, this is a funny story. So, Steve says to me,
Steve Morris,
the gentleman in the pub next door, because me, I'm just like no idea about this till afterwards. Said to me that if you arrive early, because obviously I arrive early to sort stuff out and I'm not there, you can go and sit in the back room. You can leave your bike, motorbike outside the front and nobody will touch it. I thought, what lovely people.
That's so kind.
So kind. I thought, oh, that's really nice. And I did that a few times.
Yeah.
And they were like, they were really gentlemanly. And yeah.
So you just go in the back room?
Yeah.
Wow, cool.
And it's like, they were lovely. I had no idea what.
No. I don't know, I have heard drips and drabs about the Quality Street Gang. I live in the Northern Quarter, and there's this woman that has lived in the Northern Quarter, I think, for her whole life, that lives like just down there. And I've heard her talking about the Quality Street Gang and how she used to run with them. She's incredible. I've heard so much about her life just from listening through the window. I think I'd like to know more about them. And I don't even know when they like the duration, and I don't know why they chose this area to.
I think they lived around here.
I
don't know.
It was just a local pub.
I think it was probably just a local pub. and nobody ever did steal my bike.
That's great.
And that was really good.
Did the bike take you to and from Didsbury?
Yes.
Yeah, nice. That's a cool way to get here. So this part, we only got it, I think, in 2020, this back part, and then they did up the whole refurb. And according to my sources, the gentleman who managed Simply Red had bought the building and kept it in trust for it on the wall to buy. So we did. And then before it was just that back bit, and also we had a smaller stage, like venue, and then there was the expansion into next, so where the bar is now was the Picture House Cafe when it first came into existence. And it just kind of kept bubbling out. And we've got the Rose and Monkey next door now. We also own that.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I say we, it's the same thing to do with me, but.
I have to start coming down here more.
Yeah, you should.
I haven't been out. I haven't been out much for it. I've been working.
Mm-hmm. What sort of stuff are you working on now?
Well, nothing.
Nothing?
At this precise moment in time. Apart from assisting the person that set up the exhibition in the library.
I like it.
But she contacted me. And she got a grant, as far as I can tell, to put things in the library. But she lives in Stratford-on-Avon.
Oh, okay.
And she got the grant, put stuff in, and then immediately went on holiday for 4 weeks and didn't contact anybody. So me and a few other people have been going along and trying to improve it, because it hadn't got a lot of stuff in.
Yeah.
And I've contacted a few musicians from Manchester who are also going to contribute.
That's
things
really
and
good.
Going to put more stuff in, but I shall label everything to make sure we get it back.
Yeah.
And we've done a big, big board, that kind of size, for the collective, and put that in one of the cases.
Okay.
And it's got a list of all the bands that were in the collective,
excellent,
write up about it, the band on the wall and the picture. And
I don't know if I've actually seen, I've certainly looked at the exhibition and I can't think that I've seen that one, so I'll need to
might have only put that in the last few weeks.
Okay, sure.
And then we put the property of one in one of the other cases, but we've got more stuff to put in there.
Yeah.
So that the girl band.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I like it.
So that's all good. Now I've just got made redundant.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, no, I'm going to be 70 next year, so it's like...
Yeah, okay, fine.
I'm not like that devastated about it.
Yeah.
I was a maths lecturer.
Oh, okay.
So, because I'm... After working with all the music stuff...
I think I did read that you were you got into maths as one of your other passions.
Yeah, well, okay, I guess what happened is I'm coming along to Band on the Wall, and I then started to go out with somebody who had a small PA company, and we did a lot of stuff for JCS.
Okay.
So, as well as on my ongoing playing with other bands, we were really lucky to do, well, the first one, JCS kind of started off, we didn't have much money, so we had to like farm people out to somebody's house to stay the night if they were. So we got Lexi's Corner, and I had Colin Hodgkinson, who's a fantastic bass player, who's been back door, was staying with me. He was like showing me base stuff. It's cool. Like, oh, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
Lord Coxhill, and who else did we have? I've forgotten again. Jack Bruce, I wouldn't have him because he was drunk.
Really?
Absolutely.
How drunk?
Very. Not. I didn't.
No.
I don't want drunk man in the house.
No. But that's really interesting. I actually have been speaking to Norman Beaker.
Oh, yeah, of course I do.
Yeah.
Because he was the lead guitarist in the band. What was the band? Still going.
Yes.
It wasn't the Norman Beaker band.
Oh my goodness.
No mystery.
No mystery.
Yes.
That's bad, I should know that.
Yeah, because my boyfriend who was the PA was Derek Blunt.
Okay, yeah.
And so we did loads and loads of like PA stuff all over the place, from not just at the London Wall, but some of the bigger venues like the Apollo, they'd call you in if they were stuck on some, because he'd repaired amps.
Yeah.
Stuck with backline, I ended up going there one day and then with some stuff, and the guy that was doing the Forest Spot hadn't turned up, so I ended up doing Forest Spot for Paul Young.
Wow. Now, forgive my ignorance, what is Forest Spot?
Oh, right, so you've got somebody on stage, and they've got the ordinary lighting, but they have a spotlight.
Like that. Okay, sure.
So I have to,
Where
the guy goes, I've got some instructions because there's a pattern because it's already laid out.
Yeah.
So I've got some headphones on, and they're telling me that it's going to be moving to the left in a minute, you know.
Yeah. Cool.
I've never done it before since.
No.
But because of that, if you were asking,
where are
we up to? What was that? So I told you how it started. Do you want me to?
I don't know how you came to Band on the Wall, and then we're getting into your maths.
So how did the Musicians Collective
come to be? How did it come to be? Yeah.
Do you want me to go over that again?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah. So we've Nor Media Band, which is a contemporary classical music arts performance group. They've been over to Belgium, and we've done a couple of a performance for a festival, and we've done a couple of pieces by Trevor Wishart, and Trevor Wishart was the composer in residence for Northwest Arts at that time, and he was very keen on collectives. So him and Dick Witts were talking about it, so there was me, Dick Witts, Bob Dickinson, who then played with Magazine later, but was at that point a student of Tim Suster's at Keele University, talking about collectives, and we thought it might be a good idea to have them in Manchester. So me and Richard went down to Manchester, London, to have a look at the London Collective, and then talked to people like Steve Beresford, and then came back, flyers and things round in libraries and universities, expecting jazz or classical music people to turn up, and I turned up, and the floor came, and it was like, oh yes,
yeah,
we were secretly always wanted to be in bands. Let's do this.
Yeah, cool.
And that was really great.
Yeah. And then so you first came here in 1977, and it was Sundays and Tuesdays.
It was Sunday. No, it wasn't Sundays and Tuesdays.
Sundays and then
Sundays
Tuesdays.
Sundays and Sundays. Yeah. And then Tuesdays.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it actually says on your website in detail of what it was.
Yeah, I want to make my own like timeline in my head of everything, how it went.
Yeah, I had a quick look at my diary about that, and that fits. And we were there for about 2 years. All I can see is, because what I could see in my diary is I've got like all the bands that were on. So like every Tuesday, it's just like a list of three names.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it stops.
Okay, yeah.
And then something like a month later, it says gig at Cypress Tavern.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm not sure.
No.
It was nearly 50 years ago.
Yeah. That's good that you kept diaries of it though.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was very fond of it, actually.
Yeah. But like a really organiser as well, I need to keep on track of what was going on.
Yeah. So I kept a list of all different bands. Names, telephone numbers, who was in it, what they played. Still got those. Just
not. This is not one of the questions, but just thinking about now, Were the artists paid to come and do the gigs, or was it kind of like a free thing?
No. Well, yes. My memory of it, and I think this is right.
Uh-huh.
Okay. We split the door money. So there was like a fee, a set fee, I think, for Band on the Wall. I'm not completely sure, because it is such a long time ago, and I can't remember. even though that was my bit I was doing. And so we, obviously, people paid to come in. It wasn't like 50p or something.
Mm-hmm.
And we split the money, and I think we gave some, maybe for expenses to the band, but I'm not completely sure about that.
Okay.
But the collective had the other money,
mm-hmm.
and we needed that for like printing and, you know, like fly posting.
Yeah, sure. So the actual collective, the organisational bit, was it sort of like a union? Like, was there a member's fee to be in it? Or no, everyone
just rock up, okay, great. Do your thing.
I like
it. People couldn't get their heads around that at first. They kept trying to give me demo tapes. They said, no, you don't need to give me a demo tape. Just come along, mm-hmm. help out.
Mm-hmm.
You can play. It's about giving people a go and giving them a platform and meeting other people.
And what was your favourite sort of, what was your best memory from that time?
Let me just go back on. Yeah. Initially there was hardly any organisation. I remember Dick Witts coming along from Liverpool to a meeting and going, you need to be a bit more organised than this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to take control.
Mm-hmm.
And so we took the motto keeping control from.
Okay.
And we thought, right, okay, we'll have membership cards.
Excellent.
You didn't get charged, but you got a membership card. And and everybody got jobs, and I was like the organiser for most of it. And also because by that time, again, I was one of the few people who had access to a telephone.
Okay.
So I had a 12-month, I didn't work there 12 months at the Social Security office in Russia, and the work was incredibly easy. And so I sort of, at lunchtime, I use it to move my enemy sounds, whatever, and tell them who was on a Band on the Wall, and they put that in their listing.
Cool.
Because back in the day, people didn't have telephones, and obviously there was no mobiles.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the great things about the collective, because there's no way of meeting other musicians, none, unless you looked in, unless you persuaded your mate to take up guitar, or, you know, answered an ad in an M&E.
Yeah, that's nice.
So it was really good.
So I did ask a question, but I'm going to go to this one next instead. Do you still, like, obviously you said that you, you know, that's how the musicians met. Do you still keep in touch with any people from that time?
Yeah, loads. So after that initial thing, I reached out, and we had a big party for the for this one at my house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about the punk band? Do you still keep in touch with them?
Martine, she's one of my best friends. And obviously, she lives in Chester, but I haven't spoken to her today. Manchester Nikon.
Yeah.
Sadly, Frank died last year. And everybody came together from wherever they are living now.
Yeah.
And we had a big memorial party again at my house with food.
Yeah. Lovely.
And other people came as well because they liked the new Frank. He was important. He'd taped a load of the Fall stuff, the initial Fall stuff, which got released on Cherry Red recently, because I suddenly discovered I had Fall tapes. And we're signed to Cherry Red, which is why the Nikon and property of Spotify and other platforms, apparently.
Okay, excellent. Nice. That's really nice.
That's really bizarre. If only it had happened 50 years ago.
Yeah. But so, you know, if you were selling vinyls and things, I feel like I'd prefer it to still be that way.
Oh, we did. Yeah, we had some vinyl out there, but not that long ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
We actually have the vinyl upstairs at the Manchester Musicians Collective, the recording. That wasn't recorded here, was it?
No, you don't have any recordings.
No. Was it recorded in Rochdale?
It was recorded, or I think people recorded at different places.
Okay.
Revolution in Cheadle Hume as well.
Okay.
Most of it was recorded. Photos. Releases. So this one, that was released in 2017.
Cool.
And that's a load of stuff with the Manchester Nippon on. And that's again written on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
So that's on vinyl.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
It's only on vinyl.
Yeah.
But obviously all the tracks are digitised anyway, so you can just listen to them. Yeah, there's a, yeah.
Yeah, so from like going back to so the 2 years that you were coming to do the gigs here.
Yeah.
What was your like some highlights from that time?
That's really hard. I thought.
No, that's okay.
Funny things.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't know how good this is to hear.
I'll
forget
anything, I want to hear it all.
Well, you have to remember that a lot of the young people were actually very young, and they had a very young following.
Okay, yeah.
So sneaking the 14-year-olds in around the back. They were all bussed from Burnley to see they're not sensible. They actually hired a coach.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
A whole busload of little young punk girls.
That's crazy.
Who were like really like,
massive.
Yeah, they didn't want to drink, they just
no.
wanted to see they're not sensible, so
cool.
They just like, they huffed them.
Yeah.
So that we had to sneak some, they just didn't look 16.
No,
before, so.
No. That's cool.
And some of the musicians were not old enough, weren't 18, are they?
Yeah, okay. Interesting.
Because it was a very much a youth.
Okay.
Yeah, like I said, I was quite... At 20,
yeah,
I was like, I was old.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
But the main organisers, like people like Dick Witts, were like 8 years older than me.
Okay.
So,
what's he like? Is he still
yeah.
around here?
Yeah, well, not around here, he lives in Brighton.
Right, okay.
I spoke to him the other day.
Mm-hmm.
No, I do keep in touch
with
all
these
people. He's writing books and things. He wrote stuff on Nico. She was connected with, she didn't play, she wasn't part of the collective,
yeah.
but quite a few people who were in the collective did stuff with Nico.
Yeah, that's really cool. Nico, I really like Nico, and then I only found out recently that she played like 3 nights here in 1982, and I don't think I even knew she lived in Manchester until I started working on this.
Yeah, there was a whole thing the other week, a film on her, so Complex,
okay.
I went to see. Last year, which was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was a massive heroin addict.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
did you ever meet her?
No.
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting. I love to sort of hear it all. I think that's why I'm doing this project. I just like to hear about everything because all of this has allowed all of this to keep.
The guy from the Mud Hutters, who was also with Dislocation Dance, and they're kind of collective people, he played drums for Nico on a couple of tours.
Yeah, well, cool.
And Dick Witts wrote a book about it.
Yeah. I think I've seen the name Dick Witts while I've been reading some of his books. Yeah.
He was a percussionist in the Hala initially.
Okay, really?
Yeah, before he went into deciding he was going to be drunk. After the fall turned up.
Yeah. So one of the questions here is, at the time, could you feel the importance of what you're putting together? Like when you first started, could you see how it was going to go, and like while you were doing it, could you feel that you were like, wow, this is a really important thing?
Not as much as I think retrospectively, but yes, to a certain extent, because I could see all the bands that were forming and playing, and because they'd meet here, play a couple of gigs, and then people like, say, like Mick Hucknall's band, the initial one,
Anticarabators.
So they'd get gigs places, and they'd ask us to support them.
Okay, excellent.
So that's kind of what happens. So, different the bands that were doing better would have met other bands at the collective meetings or band on the wall, and they'd make friends with people.
Yeah.
People would swap over, join different bands, and they'd ask people to support them, and you can see it flowing through Manchester.
That's really nice.
And of course Factory took up some of them, and they'd come and have a local, and reviewers used to come, you know, review stuff. So you'd,
was Mick Middles around?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'd see that it was quite an important
bit. Okay.
But to be honest, I think I was too, I almost felt like I was too busy kind of sorting
stuff
out.
Yeah, I get that. It's like when you're at a party that you've organised and you're too busy trying to organise the party rather than actually doing it.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
So I must have seen hundreds and hundreds of bands. Remembering people's names.
Yeah, me too.
So I can tell you about them, you know, the bands and everything, but I can't remember what they're called.
No, it's okay. So I just have so much I feel like I want to know.
Keep going, I'm not doing anything else this afternoon.
So what's like different, like what sort of different genres would you say you had on? You say you can talk about the bands, not their names, so...
Everything, really. Everything. I mean, we had Steve Beresford on at one point, and that was the only thing that Steve always got cross about, because he tried to play the piano when he was speaking, because he was an classical improvisation.
Yeah.
I was like, no. Not our piano. Bands like Spurts or... and our band Property of the Night Conquered, it was like God's gift.
Mm-hmm.
And it says on the website that they were like intimidating, but not as people, not, you know, the professor of something or other, I can't remember his focus, as actual people, they're not intimidating. It was kind of a political stance.
Sure, yeah. Was it quite a political thing, the collective, when it would meet up?
It was very... We did the Rock Against Racism.
Yes.
Did you see the picture of the float?
Yes, I did actually see that. Yeah, Mick Hucknall's on that float, isn't
he? Yes, he is. Yes. He's stood at the side.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can see my lovely stripy Peruvian jumper I got from on the eighth day.
Lovely.
Loved that jumper.
Yeah.
It's gone
now. That's sad.
It is. You know, you have a favourite jumper.
I've got
a
favourite jumper now,
it's got a massive big hole.
Oh no.
I don't know how to darn things.
No, neither do I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was political in that the idea it was free.
Yeah, everyone could come.
Everybody. Here. There was no, you're not coming because you play that kind of music or anybody who came along and said they wanted to play, and you know, we had like John the Postman who came and just talked, sort of thing, could come along and have a go. So, from that kind of, we did have a bit more difficulty trying to get people to actually do stuff,
as in like the organising, voluntary
things. But in the end, it ended up the Manchester MECOM doing a lot of it, because Frank, who was the guitarist, did a lot of technical stuff. David, who didn't come to many meetings, worked at a school with lots of printing access.
Okay, excellent. So you had the phone, you had the printer.
And one of the MECOM's friends was an artist, so he used to design posters, David would print them, and me and Chris Griffin would zoom around bits of Manchester on my motorbike with him on the back with a bucket of paste and some posters. And
excellent.
Then meet back onto the motorbike.
So three of you? No, not three of you, two of you.
Me, Chris Griffin, and a bucket of paste.
Yeah, excellent.
And we got into trouble with Tosh Ryan.
Okay.
Have you heard of Tosh Ryan?
No.
He's just passed away, and he was... should look up right Tosh Ryan down. He's nothing to do with the collective.
Okay.
He's more to do with like Factory
and
people like the Albertos.
Yeah.
He was a saxophone player.
Okay.
So he's, and he had recently a youth thing called Orchestra of Fools.
Okay.
So he's was an interesting person. Mm-hmm. But he was very cross because we posted over something of his and Ran got and shouted at us.
Oh no. Tough.
Yeah. No. Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, they had a bit of you know, what's the word? It's kind of only Tosh that approves that posters go up in Manchester, and we're like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
We're a collective.
Yeah, that's really good. So the Factory people, were they around a lot? Like, I don't know, Tony Wilson, would he have been around?
Yeah, Bob Dylan.
Yeah. Okay.
And he was friends with Dick Witts because they were both doing the What's On TV thing for Granada.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's where I know the name Dick Witts. Yes, okay, yeah. I'm sorry, this I've been taking a lot of information from over the last few months. Like I say, this is all a side project that me and my friend Laura, who also works here, we just do it in our spare time.
Right, yeah, so Dick Witts and Trevor Wishart have got their names at the front end of the collective team.
Yeah.
Because yeah. Trevor was the musician, what's it, residence.
Yeah.
And Dick Witts applied for the grant. Mm-hmm. And then, like I say, look it up.
Yeah.
Hugged off to Liverpool and left me with it. So mm-hmm.
I think that's probably a blessing you got to.
Yes, do all these things. It completely changed my life.
Yeah.
So I didn't become a primary school teacher.
No.
I worked for about 15 years doing sounds or writing,
mm-hmm.
but worked at places like Strawberry, Stockport.
Mm-hmm.
So did sessions with people like Martin Hallett,
mm-hmm.
Took out PAs for Strawberry Rentals. They used to be the roadies for 10cc, but when 10cc broke up, they kept the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd do all the Granada and the BBC stuff, because
yeah.
they're just mine. You know,
when yeah, going. Sure.
So we'd take all the equipment and set it up, then mm-hmm. film it, take it away.
Mm-hmm.
I did a couple of tours with bands,
okay.
doing I didn't do front of house, I did like what monitor, it's called a monitor engineer, so it's, do you know about this?
I'm not really, like, honestly.
So when you've got the gig, you've got the sound engineer at the front,
mm-hmm.
right, and everybody plugs everything
mm-hmm.
and the people in the audience hear this,
mm-hmm.
okay, but that's not what the band hears, because the band doesn't want to hear that.
No, yeah.
Like, the bass player wants to be able to clearly hear what the drummer's doing, and the drummer wants to hear what the bass player's doing, and the lead vocalist probably mostly wants to hear what the guitarist is playing.
Yeah.
And so they have, I don't think you've got anything here now, so they have like wedge-shaped monitors in the back,
mm-hmm.
and another sound engineer with another desk at the side of the stage,
mm-hmm.
that changes what everybody can listen
okay.
to, and that's my job.
That's well, cool.
So I did that for about 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
I worked for, like I say, Strawberry Rentals, Bruce Mitchell, because mm-hmm. I was the in-house lighting engineer at that place. International One,
mm-hmm.
which was a club.
Mm-hmm.
Had lots and lots of bands on,
mm-hmm.
so I was their lighting engineer.
Cool.
Yeah, because my dad always said to me, and I took this to heart, if somebody asks you, can you do something, you always say yes and then learn how to do it quickly.
Yeah, I like that.
And that's pretty much what happened.
Yeah.
So he said, can you do lighting? Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. So I can do that. And during that period, I got myself an HND in electronic engineering, so
okay.
I did know about it.
Yeah.
I knew how to wire stuff up and anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to work. I got a job working with the guy that used to run Eric's. Oh, well. It's called very famous man. I have to Google it now.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll come back to me in a second. And he lived on the top of, at that time, he'd moved from Liverpool
mm-hmm.
and was living on the top of the Iron Dale.
Oh, okay. When not in the big tall yellow part of it, was it?
No, Roger Eagle. Oh. It's called Roger Eagle.
Okay.
So I did some work for Roger Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
So mostly the runner.
Okay. At Eric's?
No, in Manchester. Mm-hmm. Places like the Ritz.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing some raw.
Okay. How did it go?
Are you recording this?
It's over there, yeah. Oh, I won't publish anything you don't want to know.
Yeah, like my job on that particular thing was to roll joints through guitars.
Excellent.
Yeah, so I mean, because I don't really do any drugs, and no. I don't drink very much, because you fall off your mental bag if that happens.
Yes, true, yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't even really know how to do it, because then you have to show me.
It's a hard skill.
Anyway,
that's hilarious.
It was very funny.
It was Sun Ra. I'm not going to. I won't write it, but that's for my own knowledge. That's great.
It was funny. Another funny bit that I remember, because when I was working at the DHSS, they were a bit more relaxed in those days than they are perhaps now.
Mm.
And one day the manager came and called me into the office, and he goes, I know you're connected with like the Manchester music scene. Would you mind just ringing the Freshers manager and tell them that we've seen them on Top of the Pops last night, and perhaps they ought to declare some income?
Oh no!
Right, I'm on that.
Oh yeah, I'll do that right now.
Yeah, now.
Oh my gosh! How did he know?
It's in London.
Okay. Oh, that's really funny. What was it like working for the DHSS?
Idiots. There was two groups of people. There were the ones like me and some lovely people who really wanted to help the claimants.
Mm-hmm.
But there was loads of rules that you weren't allowed to tell them what they could claim.
Really?
Yeah. And if a woman was living with a man, even as a student, because you could claim money as a student at that point in the holidays.
Yeah.
I don't think it can
happen. No, I think so.
But if a woman was living with a bloke, she couldn't get anything.
Really?
So I'd be interviewing them and going, so do you live with anybody? They go, no. Right, that's great. Because I thought it was really unfair. Because it only applied to women.
Yeah.
It didn't apply to blokes.
Yeah.
And then there was the other type of people who really wanted to be in the police force and had probably got turned down and are not very nice. And if they didn't like somebody, they'd put their thing to the bottom of the pile and not do their money. And people would starve.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because it wasn't a lot of money.
No. That's horrific.
You know, people were poor.
Yeah.
And you get babies abandoned for a bit. You know, they'd come in and drop the baby off and say, right, you should pay me or not. I only lasted there a year. It was like, because back in the day then, you could sign on as whatever you wanted, and they'd have to find you a job as that.
Mm-hmm.
So I signed on as a composer, and they never found me a job.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I started to get work. They were at that point. The DHSS was different.
Mm-hmm.
You could declare an income. So if you'd work for a week,
mm-hmm.
I've worked this week and I've got this much money.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, right, okay, so I'll pay me this week. Well,
mm-hmm.
you're going next week if you haven't.
Mm-hmm.
You just tell them what you'd earned.
Okay.
And that was kind of on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if like the following week you didn't get any work, they'd just pay you the dole money.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh.
But they stop doing that.
That was a nightmare to organise.
It probably was.
Yeah.
Yeah. It probably was.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just ticked and they didn't send it. I don't know. But that's my memory of it, because I'd go in and I'd say, right, okay, so I'm working this week.
Mm-hmm. Well.
But it meant I don't know whether it did really, because it made it a lot easier and a lot better for people to earn money, because nowadays if you go and work for a job for a week and then don't have anything else, you then have to start all over again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's just not very sensible.
Mm.
And so it means that people don't declare it, or they don't bother getting a job.
Mm-hmm. Both being employed and unemployed are terrible fates, really.
Yeah. So it was a really kind of good system.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, after Roger Eagle, he wanted me to win a club. That and then he couldn't do that.
No.
Absolutely not. Not in a million years.
No.
So I went and got a job at a place called AMEC, which made fixing desks.
Oh, cool.
So, and that was really good. I had a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was the, well, I had a, I don't know what the title was, but basically if anything went wrong, so supposing something on production, so they have people building things,
mm-hmm.
So Jane on production, she has a board, right, for putting in the console,
mm-hmm.
And she has what's called a kit of all the bits that go in it.
Mm-hmm.
She has a little map of where they all go.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they didn't match up.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it would say that you were putting like 5k resistors here,
mm-hmm.
and you'd only got 10k ones. So because, and that is like much worse than you imagine, because where did it go wrong? So if it had gone wrong, say at data input, you could be ordering thousands of 10k resistors that would be needed.
Yeah.
When you really wanted 5k resistors.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it happened in test. Forgot to tell anybody, they
mm-hmm.
just decided to change it. You told the guy in kits or something or other, because they know him,
mm-hmm.
and he changed it but
mm-hmm.
didn't bother to tell anybody.
And
it's fine. Or it could be that the designer had changed it and forgotten to log it on the.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had to carefully go around asking people. I had to be able to read circuit diagrams and
mm-hmm.
stuff, so I did some circuit diagram layout and board layout and stuff, so I understood about it. Be careful, because people don't like admitting that they've done, something wrong, so it's kind of like a big promo thing. It's like almost a reward if you can find out where this went wrong, but
yeah.
it's not a problem if you've done it.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that for a few years, and that I love that job, it's great fun.
Yeah.
And then got married.
You went to maths then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'd already started doing an evening
mm-hmm.
degree in maths, so I did a...
Okay.
I got the HND in electronics, so I just did a degree in maths.
Next.
And stayed at home until the children were at school.
Okay.
And then I got a job teaching maths in college.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So have you always lived in Manchester area?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Wow, you've seen it really go through its iterations then.
Yeah, I don't come into town.
No, but like just all of it,
it's all
such figure. Even just I came here for my birthday in 2018. I'm from Scotland, can't tell. I came here for my birthday with a friend, and I remember seeing a lot of cranes around. But I think I remember seeing maybe one tall building down at Deansgate. And now it's everything's so tall.
Yeah, it's just everything. It's like they shoot up like weeds.
They actually go up so fast. It's mental. It's so crazy.
The whole landscape's changed.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. This is great.
This whole thing,
yeah,
it's really good. Because this part of the building was basically derelict, and then they brought it back. It's very nice.
Yeah, I definitely think that the like to say as well, I think the band on it being banned on the wall,
mm-hmm.
Rather than just some of the pub,
yeah,
really had a massive impact on the musicians.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was
a
music-based
mm-hmm.
like venue, not just a pub that we'd had.
Yeah.
They started to go to some of the other nights and the other musicians, and so there was definitely crossover with
mm-hmm.
some of the jazz musicians with people then.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's almost like a band on the wall pushed out all these musicians into.
Mm-hmm.
In Manchester, it played a massive part.
That's nice.
You know, just because it was banned on the wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Somebody, I think, yeah, that so many people, I think, feel the same way. And I think it's easy, like, working here maybe to feel a bit like, oh, it's just single band on the wall, but, like, it's not. It's really important to a lot of people, including me. It's very important to me. But, you know, sometimes we'd be working. I worked a show too yesterday that was a disaster. And then it's at times like that where you're like, oh, what am I doing? But really, really, it's all important. And there's another girl that we've interviewed called Rumbi Toro, who Band on the Wall has kind of done the same thing for her. It's given her a platform, and she's doing really well now. She has a headline gig here again in November. I think her first ever gig was here. Yeah, it's really cool. It's a good place.
There was a question here.
Yes.
About what would you like to see Band on the Wall?
Yes, what would you like to see Band on the Wall doing?
I'd like to see in a couple of years' time, when it's the Collective's 50th anniversary, having a 50th anniversary Collective.
Good idea, yeah. So that's 2027, isn't it? 50
yes,
years, yeah.
2027. If we could book that in.
I talk to Gavin. I actually have a meeting with Gavin tomorrow. Gavin's our CEO.
I'd have to find out who would do it.
Yeah, I'll speak to Gavin about it.
I'd like to have it kind of three bands like we did back in the day.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah.
Share back line.
Yeah. I'll pop that down.
Save the world.
Yeah, cool. I'd really love to be able to make that happen. I think that they would snap that up. I'd also love for something like the Manchester Musicians Collective to come back, just for the ability to have bands come and be able to play and everyone be welcome.
Excuse me.
No, not at all. What are you doing with the rest of your day?
Laundry.
Nice, good. I'm going to be in this building all day. I've got much work to do. Yeah.
Nothing very exciting. Oh, maybe a bit of gardening.
Mm-hmm.
Practice some guitar.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yes, I still do. Still play a little bit. Well, I still keep in touch with like Una that was in the fall,
okay.
As well as musicians. Musicians that were in my bands. Martin doesn't play anymore.
Okay. Why is that? If you don't want to ask him.
She writes books.
She writes books? Oh, amazing. What kind of books does she write?
She's just written a couple of. She hasn't mentioned Band on the Wall. I think I'll get her. She does the next one, I'll get her to.
Yeah, please.
No, seriously. Because she's using our bands as the backdrop.
Okay.
So the person that solves the mysteries is. Doing nothing. She's a keyboard player. Is a keyboard player like our team was.
Mm-hmm.
In our, because we later on had another band called Electro Complex,
mm-hmm.
which was much more. We learned to play better.
Yeah.
Which was very melodic.
Yeah.
And we played loads and loads of like women entertainment gigs,
mm-hmm.
and stuff, but no recordings.
Mm-hmm.
We got a. We had a gig on. Grenard Reports TV one.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Margaret Thatcher invaded the Falcon Diamonds and it got cancelled.
Oh no. Oh no.
We split up after that. I think we were just devastated.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Wow.
Because that was all girls, even the girl drummer, she was really good. So.
Yeah.
Hey ho. Anyway, so Martine writes novels.
Uh-huh.
And a couple of her latest ones. One particularly sharp scratch has got our band as kind of the backdrop,
mm-hmm.
isn't it? So she could easily mention Band on the Wall. Yeah. I'm Lily in it.
You're Lily.
Yeah. And the Mark Hoyle, have you written Mark Hoyle down?
Yes, I have, yeah.
Swerve,
the
book's called Swerve.
Yeah,
that's really interesting.
Yeah, let's read them.
So
you're still gigging around?
No, because I was working in Warrington, and so it's like a 60-mile round trip every day.
Okay.
So I've just been mentioning London, so just exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I used to play bass,
mm-hmm.
and some keyboards, but I have now in the last year taken up, play guitar, you know.
Yeah.
Do bar chords and splash out a, you know, tune.
Yeah.
I've taken up lessons in like learning
rock guitar. Okay, that's
so, sure. I don't do nail polish, it's only because I've been on holiday.
Yeah, I don't either.
I've been on holiday for a week. I only came
okay.
back at
Oh yeah, you said you were away. Where were you again?
I went to Ibiza.
Ibiza.
I've never been there either before. So.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, we didn't do anything at all.
That's
just
great.
Got up, ate, went swimming in the Mediterranean.
Lovely.
Came back, ate, went swimming in the pool, went to sleep.
Nice.
I probably didn't get much of a tan either because I spent most of the time in the water.
Yeah, lovely. I actually went to France on Friday. I went to the boards doing the same thing. I'm just going to be flat out and reading and working on this also. We are actually, so it's all coming together a bit chaotically because it's us. But we are putting on an event on the 13th of September. Which is actually, technically it's the day after the 50th anniversary, but that will be the 50th anniversary of Steve Morris reopening the band on the wall. Yes, so we're basically, this interview, I will be writing up and telling people a bit about you and about your involvement with the collective, and in theory, we will have
four days left.
So it's Saturday the 13th of September. It's the day after I get back from France, so I might be a bit...
Saturday the 13th
of
September, so it's London Wall.
Mm-hmm.
What time?
We'll basically, it's just going to be a bit of like a casual all-day thing. It's shaping up to be really exciting, so I'm having a meeting with Gavin tomorrow, where I imagine he'll be full of ideas of what else we can do. But the idea is that we will have... So we'll have the main, I think, probably the star of it will be these interviews, writing them up.
It is because it tells
the story through people that are actually...
Yeah, it's very important.
It is.
The whole thing changed my life.
Yeah.
So.
Like, my mother was also changed mine. So we'll have the interviews written up and looking nice, hopefully. The making them look nice, the marketing girl here has offered to help with that, which I'm really glad about because making things look pretty is not one of my strong suits. But yes, we'll have the interviews around for people to read, and we'll have all the old listings in kind of date order, and then we'll have the projector showing slides and like showing pictures and videos from various times. I have a section for the Manchester Musicians Collective. I have pictures of you in there, so that's that be going on. We'll be playing various albums, including the main one with more people on it. We'll be playing that, and we've got some other recordings to show, and...
It's very soon, that, isn't it?
It's very soon, yes.
Right, so what did you want me to send you?
Anything.
I'll send you...
Could you possibly send me a picture of these two albums?
Yeah, I'll send you a photo of... Oh yeah, of course I could.
Something like that, yeah.
Duh.
Or I could do it now even, maybe.
Yeah, you could. If you've got pens, I've got your phone, I'll be better than mine.
Is that okay?
Can I
do that?
Right, what I'll do is I'll send you the write-up from the entire
that.
Yes.
Yes.
I put it on the floor.
Yeah, I think so too.
Please.
Are you happy for me to show that the write up at the event too?
Oh yeah.
Are you
sure?
Yeah.
From the cherry red.
Yes, please.
Oh, it didn't say how important the spherical objects were.
No, please tell me.
Yeah, so Steve.
That's how I read your article about them.
Right, okay.
Or blog post that was.
It was the biography, I suppose.
Yeah,
because Steve was in a band called, it was his band, and he was one of the people that used like jazz musicians that he'd met, at other places, like from here. And he decided, because he had a small record company, that he would like to have make an album with the collective.
Mm-hmm.
So that was his, he paid for
all of that.
We had to pay for our recordings.
Yeah.
And he paid for the printing press.
Okay.
And stuff.
Yeah.
And obviously took a cut
from
that people record companies do.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very much, DIY type thing. So everybody popped off and did a recording and handed it in. He chose the bands.
Okay.
He came to lots of the gigs, listened to the bands and
what was he like?
Quiet.
Uh-huh.
Very, very quiet, tall.
Studious, would you say?
Yeah, still speak to them.
Yeah. Where do they live now?
Down south.
She
lives down south. That's a kind of like a, it's like a line down the middle.
Yeah.
But he was he at that point.
Have they kind of come more out of their shell now that like they're a sheep, if you know what I mean?
Sadly they had a really bad accident a few years back. She was knocked off her bike.
Mm-hmm.
And which caused some brain damage and impaired her eyesight.
Oh dear, that's awful.
I know, it's really. She's really a fantastic reggae fan. She used to say, who's a reggae fan?
Into reggae?
No, I think that's why she sent it, because I said I didn't like it.
Yeah.
So she bombarded me with the reggae stuff, and I now love Burning Spear.
That's just
one of my favourite bands.
Yeah, cool.
I do get very, it's, because I want to kind of be historically correct, but there was a date when she became a different person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's probably the best way to.
And then there was another album that came out around that time, was there? There was was it their second album?
Yes.
And that was kind of captured the feeling of being in transition.
Yeah. But at that point, it happened.
Yeah.
At that point, because I went through the whole thing with that. Because we were quite close friends until she decided to move because she just wanted a completely fresh start.
Yeah, that's incredible.
So, I'm still in contract with her. Very protective, and it's because she doesn't give out her phone number.
No.
So,
yeah.
If anybody needs to speak to her. The screen of course.
Okay, cool.
And she's still fine.
Yeah.
Very, very important because that gave us the first album and then people started doing it. So we did the money that we got from the money that came into Band on the Wall, we did the second album.
Okay, yeah, excellent.
Yeah.
Well, that's really good to hear. I feel like I've asked my questions. Is there anything else that you want to tell me about at all?
I can't really think. I mean, for me, it was pretty much like work. I lived here for 2 years.
Yeah.
It must have been. And sometimes we'd go out for a curry. Like at 2 in the morning or something like that.
Were Steve and Ian around a lot then? When you were putting the gigs on, did they tend to come along too? So Steve Morris and Ian Crawl.
Well, Steve Morris and his partner,
mm-hmm.
Whose name I've forgotten
from
the very beginning. Oh, Steve was always there, wasn't he?
Yeah.
His club.
Yeah. Sure, fair.
No. He was
very involved.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
he was there keeping an eye on things.
Mm-hmm.
Ian Crowe bobbing in and out.
Yeah.
But then perhaps I'd see more of it. I don't remember whether, Ian Crowe would necessarily be at all the collective nights, because I then obviously started coming in on different nights.
Other things, yeah.
Yeah, I think I went out with the resident keyboard player for a bit.
Okay, cool.
And then went off to form a band. We went down to London.
Mm-hmm.
That is real hit Radio Africa.
Okay. I'll have to look that up.
Latin Quarter.
Okay, yeah.
He was a resident keyboard player.
Mm-hmm.
And Ballis, who was Russian,
mm-hmm.
so he was a friend of mine. He'd come over the wall.
Okay, really?
And in Russian, not only being a concert pianist, but jazz pianist, but a racing driver.
Okay, cool.
And when he came over initially, he could hardly speak any English.
Mm-hmm.
And he was another great keyboard player that we had on different nights, but that wasn't,
mm-hmm.
that wasn't collected.
Yeah.
It just kind of blurs a bit because
it took over, it did
blur,
yeah.
You know, the lines, because you get collective people going on the nights,
mm-hmm.
so it was kind of our home for
mm-hmm.
quite a long time.
That's really nice. And it would have looked a lot different then.
Yes, it did look different. And I did like it like that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's expanded.
Yes, it's all modern now. There's some pictures from like the bar in like the early 2010s was really cool. That's the older pictures. It was cool with all the kind of rugs and curtains and things.
Really cool. There was an upstairs bit where you could have a dressing room and
mm-hmm.
a room go up. So I'm just going to make a note if you want me to write the write up and show you that record.
Yes.
And maybe any pictures.
Yes, anything you have.
Got any
pics
of. Of bands.
Mm-hmm. And also, obviously, we're doing all this initially for the 13th of September, but then it's just going to keep growing from there. I'm planning to have like a week where I don't think about Man on the Wall because it's completely taken over my brain for like 3 months. But yes, so we'll be keeping it going and building.
Did you take a picture of that?
We'll be basically building the archive and building all of the stuff around it. So anyone else that you can think of that might want to talk to us,
I'll send you a picture
mm-hmm.
of the other. You've got a picture of them. Have you got a picture of the unzipping the abstract?
Yes, I actually do. It's on
that's okay.
On my slideshow.
Okay,
thank you very much.
Yeah, there's the Musicians Collective. Thanks.
Do you have any advice for me as a budding archivist for making it look nice? Obviously, you've put it on in the Central Library.
And I'm not really happy about
really?
How it is.
Okay.
We're aiming to improve it. I'm not going to make it look to me. It's not my project, but I'm hoping to help. Well, she lives in Stratford-on-Avon, and I'm able to
get here.
Yes, you could get in contact. Do you know other archivists?
So I'm actually after this at 3 o'clock. I have a sort of mutual friend. So I work at the Christie in South Manchester.
You've been there a lot. Yes.
Really? Personally?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
In therapy.
Oh gosh.
I know.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And so has the currently the. The rhythm guitarist in the Meekles just had a bone marrow transplant.
Really? Yeah, okay.
Really good. I can drive past now without feeling sick.
I work there in clinical trials. One of my best friends from in Manchester is like my only really close friend from the Christie. It's called Anya. She's really cool. She's just kind of found artists to live with. So Clodagh is. A director and a writer, but she's also, I only found this out the other week, she does stuff with storytelling and archiving and like telling the history of a thing without just being factual. So speaking to her today.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So you want the German interview?
Yeah, please. I'll get Ezra to translate it for me.
Right, I'm just, the archivist from Trevor Wishart's archivist came to see me.
Okay.
And I was just trying to see if I can find his details.
It would be great to speak to more archivists because
Trevor's archivist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had some good things. I mean, I suppose I'm kind of the archivist for the collective.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly just a lot of it's digitised, but I've got stuff in drawers, really.
Yes.
In folders.
Yeah.
It's not very organised.
I've got
a little time now.
Yeah.
So you want photographs of the two,
mm-hmm.
Some photos of the two.
Yes.
Right up from the Cheviot Red, pictures of Baron I can find,
mm-hmm.
And the German interview, and Trevor's wife's name. I'll try and send those over by Monday.
Any time would be great,
Well, if it's
a week on Saturday.
Week on Saturday, you might well, the archivist, you don't need that for a week on Saturday,
yeah.
But the other bits might be,
thank you.
Might be interesting.
Thank you very much, yeah. If you ever want to collaborate on archiving at all,
quite interesting. Actually.
You have had on the more contact again. Maybe you already did, but please feel free to get in touch.
Think of anything else that you...
If you're happy for me to keep messaging.
Yeah, to me it's important that the name of the collective gets out there, because I don't think it, until perhaps in the last few years, it's been really recognised. Because obviously we weren't selling anything.
Mm-hmm.
So places like Factory and were companies that were making money.
Yeah.
So the whole point was that they would sell things,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we weren't selling anything.
Yeah.
were just giving, so we didn't have that, push to put it in the media, especially once it wasn't doing it anymore.
Yeah.
We didn't need to keep selling anything.
And those who needed to know knew that it was happening.
Yeah.
Interesting. Thank you very much again.
I need to call the man to come and pay me.
I hope you've enjoyed this experience. How was my interviewing? This is
very relaxing.
Very new to me. Very relaxing. Good. God.
Yes. Good. Yeah, because it is quite nerve wracking. Even there's been quite a few. There's ones on. I'll send you the links as well. Mm. Hang on. Minister Radio interview.
Is it nerve wracking for you? You mean?
Yeah, slightly, because apart from anything else you can remember.
Yeah, yeah.
And a link. So there's a radio interview on Loudermore Moor.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'll send you the QR code.
Yeah.
So you can almost make that. Okay, I need to put ready. We'll be outside.
Feel free to hang out in the bar, whatever you want to do.
Well, he's coming in the car, so because he dropped me off, he went off to park.
Okay.
And it's very good of it. And then he'll just pick me up outside.
Okay,
that's been great.
Thank you very much.
Oh.
Thank you so much.
Obviously. Oh, got that. Oh, bees.
Me too.
You wait till you're 70.
I was at the Snake Fest yesterday, so it was standing up and bobbing to various things for several hours. A little bit achy today.
You're fine.
Yes, good point. Left here.
Left.
Just this way here. Here we go.